Okay, already here, everything said. Just a question to you. What in the title of the talk captured your attention? The interoperability or the thing OO? Please raise your hand if it was thing OO. Oh, too much. Okay. And interoperability? One. I'm sorry for you guys. But that part is prepared much better. Okay. Nothing works as expected. This should be a little bit greater. Well, that's the abstract. That's about me, uninteresting. That's also uninteresting. Okay. I don't know. It seems that not everybody is familiar with the GEM interpreter. Or are you? Okay. Some years ago, Santiago Felipino, I think is his name, implemented an alternative tickle interpreter. Part of it was to experiment with the tickle language itself. Part of it was to prove that it can be done in a very small code base. And at that time, he based his interpreter on the features of Tickle 8, 6 or so. So, and why would I want this? Well, I'm working mostly with servers, DevOps, it said today. And in the Unix history, we had already a similar thing. The Bern shell from the GNU project is very good. It's called Bash, and it implements the POSIX shell, kind of. In fact, it implements a lot more. So that was one of the objectives of Bash. But at some moment, when Linux was used more, then people found out, okay, so this POSIX shell is used for a lot of system scripts, and it's very huge. And I only need, well, say a script, 100 lines of code, where I don't use all the features. But every time it's invoked, I need all the memory space. Yeah? So over time, some alternative implementations or previous implementations became popular. And for example, on the Debian, they selected to be the POSIX shell of the system, /bin/sh, to be the dash implementation. And you see the difference. If I load this into memory, I have 9,760 pages if it's bash. Otherwise, I have 2/3 of it. Yeah, the resident size, the difference is much more. So I have to load 2,500 pages, and in the other case, 936. Okay, a similar thing happens with Tickle. I use Tickle a lot for shell scripting or for tasks where, well, the shell is cumbersome because of string handling and whatever. So every time I interpret my scripts, I need 18,000 virtual pages, 8,700 resident memory pages, plus what the script needs for memory. Or this is measured or taken from an empty interpreter. Well, GEM shell has, you see, 4 times lower memory footprint. That's nice because my scripts don't use much more than the memory of the interpreter itself. They don't allocate a lot of memory. So that's a huge advantage. In comes that the standard library, C library in Unix, is the GNU libc, which is huge because it does a lot of stuff which is not needed every time. So there are alternative implementations of the C library. For example, Musl C, Alpine Linux is maybe known for Dockers, and it's very small because it uses Musl C for everything. It's a C library which only implements what is needed, no additional features. There is another one by Felix von Leitner, Fefe. It's called Diet libc. And it's even smaller if it's, although it's some, it's discussed if it's about security or whatever. Well, if when I compile the TIM interpreter with the Diet libc library, then I get, well, you can compare that Tickle needs code size itself, it's 4.9 megabytes. And with Diet libc, I get already to a tenth of the code size. So I have a very small interpreter. And when loaded into memory, well, I got here also a tenth of the resident size. That's very attractive. And in fact, it's less than the POSIX shell of the system. I found it out by doing these numbers. I said, OK, so it would be better to do all of my scripts with TIM shell. That's why that would be interesting. So if you're doing system administration monitoring and so on, you need file I/O, you need maybe a little bit of sockets or whatever, and very basic features of the language itself, mostly no object orientation or whatever. But I like to develop in Tickle, and maybe I like to share code. So I want to use the same code base without a lot of tinkering around with checking if am I running in TIM or not, and so on. I want to reuse libraries I write, or which are already written, like Tickle lib. And in my case, I'm doing just ad hoc installation. So there are scripts, I use it on them on my server and so on. So it has to be easy to copy them over, whatever. Now, what's the differences between the two interpreters with respect to these requirements? When we come to script by themselves, so the Tickle source of the script, TIM shell does only support a subset of the comments of Tickle. It's not everything there, but there are also more. What's dangerous in this case? Some commands behave differently, and also the package system behaves differently. That's like the Octo. Octo has to die, no? The same thing happened here. Another thing is that the TIM interpreter changed some concepts in the program, how they are implemented. Namespaces are, they say, dynamic. Arrays or variables are kind of dynamic. We don't have hierarchic interpreters. You can create new interpreters, but it's different. We have no variable tracing at all. And also, the string and UTF-8 handling is kind of very low level, very, very not Tickle. some of the commands from Tickle, which are different. In Tickle, we can declare in a namespace variable, name value, a variadic list. In TIM, you can't. It's just one variable name and one value you can use. So, well, I have to rewrite code or libraries which declare in one line several variables to be compatible. Another thing is that TIM uses directly POSIX calls, file system calls, for all the file commands. So for example, file normalize, which on Tickle works on non-existing paths, fails in Jim, because first it looks, is the file there? And then it makes the resolution of the symbolic links. Return does not have the minus options option, because the implementers decided, well, that's an extra that was needed in former times. They have an improved socket command, so you can do socket on Unix sockets, on UDP, on TCP, and so on. But the syntax is changed to introduce, to have something where to specify this. I will stop here and go to the next one, because some of them show up. Now to the other conceptual differences. You do not have an error info variable. Oh, that's the same, kind of. So parts are missing. Okay. Yeah, let's go to the, let's forward to the dynamic namespaces. So in order to make it kind of smaller code base, it does not exist the concept of a namespace variable. It's just called with the double columns. So it's just a variable, and it has this long name with the columns inside. And at runtime, Jim decides, I'm in that namespace, so I will put the prefix to the variable names to access this variable. So a variable in a namespace does not exist unless it's already there somehow. Here, the first line is working perfectly in Tickle. Namespace variable var. But in Jim, this variable var is a global variable. Not there, but if you set it to a value, then at runtime, a variable demo double colon var is created and set to the value. So now you have it instantiated, and you can access this. So code which just declares a variable to have it there does not work. You have to set it to a value. You can look out for this in Tickleib, maybe, for this thing. So I just, when I write code, every time I set it to an empty value or whatever, or to I love you. Okay. The state with values, it's also very simplified. A value contains a string. In Tickle, we can have it as being a tick or an array. In Jim, it's decided at runtime what it is. So syntactically, you can access an index of an array variable. And if the string stored under the variable is list-shaped and has this index, then it's an array. So I made here up some examples. So if you can just have an array variable with one element, or a normal variable, a string variable, you L append one value, then it's an array at this moment. And if you add another one, then it's not an array anymore, because it has three elements. And so you cannot resolve to an index, the last one. So you can kill your arrays by L appending to the variable. That would be a bug anyway, but it would. Okay. Let's skip this one. We can come back to it if there is a need. With respect to packaging, the Tickle way of requiring package is very elaborate. You search them in every kind of places, and you have a database which is filled with the package index files, where it says, where can I get package with version whatever. In Jim, you have autopass also. And if I require package demo, then one by one, each element of the autopass variable is appended, joined the name of the package.tcl, and if I find this file, then I load it. That's how it's resolved. It's hard-coded in C. So it works for kind of embedded system where you put all of your packages in one directory or so, or you add for each directory at some place. You add a lot of directories to the auto pass variable. Well, that's how it was invented. I was not satisfied with this. So how do I deal with this to have code which can work together? I created a kind of package called a Tickle for Jim. I decided to go to, let's say, batch the Jim commands which come up often and which make trouble by creating a package called tickle. So if I do package require tickle, then I just load in code which overrides the tickle commands which work differently, and I emulate or just ignore what's coming. For example, when you have a stable system, you know what you want to require. You have not to deal with different versions, which are ignored by Jim anyway. Then package require a version you don't need to you don't need to look in different paths and so on. I simplify things. I said, okay, when I package require, then I capture the call. I look through the autopass variable, and if I find a subdirectory which is called like my package, and there is the file which is called like my package, then I also load it with the standard Jim shell algorithm, and that works with some TCL lib files, for example. I can just add the directory of the memo of the MIME package in the tickle lib, and it can load it. Okay, so here comes to, I will go to this because that maybe helps me in the future. Since I deal with spam, with emails, I need the MIME package. In some particulars, it's better than any other. For example, I cannot detach any attachment or any attachment that I have with standard MIME detachment code. So I said, okay, with Tickle it worked. So I could unpack almost any email I get. I get some very strange spam emails with wrong headers and so on. When I tried to source the MIME Tickle package, then I found some problems, no? Which cannot be resolved easily. Return minus options is used one time, so I just fixed this because it's not needed to use it. You can help yourself by expanding the parameters. There is one construct, so some code is cached, and the result is put into the result variable. And immediately after this, a variable is set to error info. Error info is made global, so it's the real error info from Tickle. And then I return from the MIME returns this minus error info with the variable. So at the moment, I just patched the my copy of the MIME package with catch result error info and give that back. I just guessed from the documentation that this would yield the same result. Not the same, okay, that's the reason why it's not working very good, but anyway, it helped me out that I could load the package anyway, right? So, I patched the package, the MIME package, and I put it into my TickleLib package as well as MD5 and the base64, which are not available. So if you require the Tickle package in Jim, then you get all of these additionally. With help of this patching around in the Jim interpreter, I could make work some of things. For example, I was running Big Blue Button cluster, so video conferencing system, and I wrote a Tickle TK script which can directly access the API of the video conference servers. There does not exist such a thing, but then I needed to monitor the systems, and I took the same code base to access the API and only to extract values to send it to a collectee daemon, which gives it over to a Grafana dashboard, and so I had some graphics about the performance. That worked by also porting the HTTP 1.0 package, making the interface like HTTP look like HTTP 2. And then I could interchange this. I could make the API request from within Jim Shell directly. So there are some, some of these utilities which are work in progress and which need more work, but there is already a lot of code of this running on my servers doing monitoring stuff which were firstly developed in Tickle and now can be run in the small Jim Shell interpreter. Okay, time has run out. I just will add, without talking about too much, so what's about this thing, OO? When it comes to object orientation, there are a lot of different implementations in Tickle itself. The most modern one is Tickle OO, and there's also an object orientation in Jim. Fact is that the Tickle implementation won't work ever in Jim and vice versa, because they use advanced features like variable tracing in one part and the other one, Jim has static variables. So I don't need a lot, and I found a one-line OO implementation by the great Richard Suchenwirth from the year 2000 in the wiki. And this is the package ThingOO. It's about 100 lines. I enriched it a little bit, and it does basic OO, nothing about class inheritance or whatever, but you can create objects which are similar to the standard Tickle object, like strings or so. You know the syntax more or less. You can do this in a portable way between both languages. Okay.
So thank you, George.
Okay.
I ask you to.
I will repeat the question if there are any.
No.